ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Shri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada, Canto 4, The Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 28, Paranjan Becomes a Woman in the Next Life, three texts today, 56, 57, 58. Is on the board. So I'll say 56, 57, and then we'll do 58 together. Text 56. Pancharamam navadvaram ekapalam trikoshtakam shatkulam panchavipanam pancha prakriti sridavam. Now this is King Paranjan / Vaidarbhi, because they're the same soul in different lives. This is his, her, unknown friend speaking. Unknown friend. And right, what he's doing, we're coming to the end of the Paranjan Leela. So it started with chapter 25, when Narada Muni kindly trying to help a very entangled king named Prachini Barhi move off his karmakanda dime, as we say, into spiritual life. So Narada Muni decided the best way to try to help Prachini Barhi Maharaj was to tell him a story, an allegory. An allegory is an extended metaphor where all the people, places, things in the story, they stand for bigger things. So we're coming to the end of the allegory now. This is the epilogue allegory, because after the Paranjan allegory, Prachini Barhi still couldn't get it. It was too much, too fast for him, because his desire is so strong materially. So Narada Muni has to give a real power PS, a power epilogue, you know, sequel story. And that's the story of King Malayadvaja and Queen Vaidarbhi. So this is the end of the coming to the very end, and we have a very powerful speaker, the unknown friend of Paranjan / Vaidarbhi, and now he's unpacking, spelling out, explaining some of the symbols in the Paranjan Vaidarbhi allegory. So text 56, in that city of nine gates, right? In that city, the material body, there are five gardens, nine gates, one protector, three apartments, six families, five stores, five material elements, and one woman who is lord of the house. Now he's going to explain that a little bit. Next verse. Text 57. My dear friend, the five gardens are the five objects of sense enjoyment, and the protector is the life air, which passes through the nine gates. The three apartments are the chief ingredients, fire, water, and earth. The six families are the aggregate total of the mind and five senses. And there's a little purport for this, and then we'll do a longer one for 58. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The five senses that acquire knowledge are sight, taste, smell, sound, and touch. And these act through the nine gates, the two eyes, two ears, one mouth, two nostrils, one genital, and one rectum. These holes are compared to gates in the walls of the city. The principal ingredients are earth, water, and fire. And the principal actor is the mind, which is controlled by the intelligence, buddhi. And now text 58, responsively. Vipanastu kriya shaktir. Vipanastu kriya shaktir.
Vipanastu kriya shaktir.
Bhuta prakriti ravyaya.
Bhuta prakriti ravyaya.
Bhuta prakriti ravyaya.
Bhuta prakriti ravyaya.
Shaktyadhi shakpumamstvatra.
Shaktyadhi
shakpumamstvatra.
Shaktyadhi shakpumamstvatra.
Pravishto navabudhyate.
Pravishto navabudhyate.
Pravishto navabudhyate.
Pravishto navabudhyate.
Vipanastu kriya shakti.
Vipanastu kriya shakti.
Bhuta prakritiravyaya.
Bhuta prakritiravyaya.
Shaktyadhi shakpumamstvatra.
Shaktyadhi shakpumamstvatra.
Pravishto navabudhyate.
Pravishto navabudhyate.
Vipanaha, stores,
to
then,
kriya
shakti,
the energy for activities,
or the working senses,
bhuta,
the five gross elements,
prakriti,
the material elements,
avyaya,
eternal.
Shakti,
the energy.
Adhishaha,
controller.
Puman,
man.
Tu,
then.
Atra,
here.
Pravishtaha,
entered.
Na,
does not.
Avabudhyate,
becomes subjected to knowledge. So again, this is the unknown friend speaking now to Vaidarbhi. She's just about to jump into the... See, then I can't read the book. What to do? Okay, I'll hold the book up. This is how Prabhupada actually said to read a book, like this. He was showing Upendra once how to hold a book. Like this. Okay. So yeah, Queen Vairocana, she's just about to jump in the fire, Sahamarana, you know, the sati. But she's going to be fully enlightened now by her unknown friend, who was with her before, as when he was Paranjan, but she didn't get it. And now she's going to get it, and so is Prachina Bharti going to get it. And hopefully we'll get it. Translation, he's, the unknown friend is continuing to identify the symbols in the story, in the allegory. The five stores are the five working sensory organs. They transact their business through the combined forces of the five elements, which are eternal. Behind all this activity is the soul. The soul is a person and an enjoyer in reality, but, or however, because he is now hidden within the city of the body, he is devoid of knowledge. This is the story of our lives. Please repeat. The five stores are the five working sensory organs. They transact their business through the combined forces of the five elements, which are eternal. Behind all this activity is the soul. The soul is a person and an enjoyer in reality. However, because he is now hidden within the city of the body, he is devoid of knowledge. Sound familiar? We say it every... Sharira Avidya Jal, right? Okay, Srila Prabhupada's purport. The living entity enters the material creation with the aid of the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and thus his body is formed. Although the living entity is working from within, he is nonetheless unknown. It's like I'm looking at all of you, but am I really looking at you? No, I'm looking at your... the latest and greatest edition of our desires to enjoy this material world, right? I'm not really looking at you, although I get a little hint maybe if I look in your eyes, right? The eyes are the windows to the soul. Whenever I meet somebody after 20, 30 years, I haven't seen the person, you know. I look at the eyes because we're all changing bodies exhibits, right? You know, so. Oh, it's, yeah, I know you. Okay. The living entity enters the material creation, but because he is bewildered by the material energy, he appears to be hidden. The bodily conception of life is prominent because of ignorance. How did Prabhupada say the word ignorance?
Ignorance.
Ignorance is an active. Ignorance is not a passive thing. We willfully ignore Krishna. Yeah, therefore, the way Prabhupada said the word is perfect. Ignorance. The bodily conception of life is prominent because of ignorance. Navabuddhyate. Intelligence is described in the feminine gender, but owing to her prominence in all activities, she is described in this verse as Adhishaha, the controller. The living entity lives by means of fire, water, and food grains. It is through the combination of these three that the body is maintained. So there's the answer. Why are these called the prominent elements? Because they maintain the body. Fire, water, and food grains, earth. It is through the combination of these three that the body is maintained. Consequently, the body is called prakriti, material creation. All the elements gradually combine to form flesh, bone, blood, and so on. All these appear as various apartments. It's almost as good as that dog the other night in the tent with Radhanaswami. Mayapur is a multi-dimensional mercy place. Krishna's, what is it? Krishna's clever, he accomplishes many purposes by one stroke. I'll read it again, let's see if it happens again. All the elements gradually combine to form flesh, bone, blood, and so on.
Ooh, let it go.
All these appear as various apartments. It is said in the Vedas that the digested foods are ultimately divided into three. The solid portion becomes stool, and the semi-liquid portion turns into flesh. The liquid portion turns yellow and is again divided into three. One of these liquid portions is called urine. Similarly, the fiery portion is divided into three, and one is called bone. Out of the five elements, fire, water, and food grains are very important. These three are mentioned in the previous verse, whereas sky, ether, and air are not mentioned. This is all explained in Bhagavad Gita 13:20, and now Prabhupada quotes the most analytical chapter in the Gita, Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness, text 20. Prakritim purusham chaiva vidyanadiyubhavapi vikaramscha gunamscha vidhi prakriti sambhava. Quote, material nature and the living entity should be understood to be beginningless. Their transformations and the modes of matter are products of material nature. Close quote. Prakriti, material nature, and Purush, the living entity, are eternal. When they both come in contact, there are different reactions and manifestations. All of them should be considered the result of the interaction of the three modes of material nature. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnanam Jana Salakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is kindly opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So yes, this is the end of the Paranjan Leela with this sequel, little Malayadvaja Vaidarbhi story. But right in the beginning of the Paranjan Leela, this unknown friend appeared, but he was ignored purposely by Paranjan. So Narada Muni can make the point to Prajani Barhi, this is what we're doing. We're ignoring our best friend. And here's how Narada introduces the unknown friend way back in chapter 25, the beginning of the Paranjan Leela, when he said in text 10, "My dear king, once in the past lived a king named Paranjan." You know, guess who? This is you, but doesn't quite get it, you know. "Who was celebrated for his great activities. He had a friend named Abhijata," which means the unknown one. "No one could understand the activities of Abhijata." And then there's a little remark by Prabhupada in the purport about that friend. Materialistic persons do not understand that God is present as the Supersoul, who was situated within the heart of every living entity. Although the Paramatma sits beside the Jivatma as a friend, the Jivatma, or living entity, does not know it. Consequently, he is described as Abhijata Sakha, meaning, quote, one who has an unknown friend. So, this is our plight in the material world. Krishna is closer to us than our heartbeat, than our breath, but we don't know him. We don't know him. Okay, so now, one of the reasons that Srila Prabhupada's purports are so realized is because he is, everything he writes, Prabhupada has experienced. Either on the gross, you know, the external plane or the internal plane. So, for example, this whole concept of the unknown friend, Prabhupada, in his own life, in his own preaching leela, assumed this role of an unknown friend. And here's how that played out in his preaching leela. Switch books. Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. Okay, so the year is 1947, India, now it's December, And India has its independence. They got their independence in August, right? Freedom at midnight, the famous freedom at midnight. Free to kill each other, you know, the Hindus and the Muslims basically were at each other's throats. This was the British parting shot, dividing India. They couldn't keep the empire anymore, so, okay. Parting shot, pitting the Muslims against the Hindus. Which broke Mahatma Gandhi's heart, because he was for nonviolence, brotherhood, harmony, all these things. So on December 7th, 1947, several months after India got their independence, Prabhupada, by this time, he's really on fire with his mission. He started back to Godhead in 44, he's writing government leaders, business leaders. So, and he's also an old, once upon a time, a former follower of Mahatma Gandhi's, who he has affection for. Prabhupada had a very intimate but conflicted relationship with Mahatma Gandhi. The Mahatma Gandhi that Prabhupada liked, Srila Prabhupada liked, was the Swadeshi Mahatma Gandhi. You know, live in your own, live locally, produce only what you need, use only what you produce. The simple liver, you know, village life. That Mahatma Gandhi he loved, as reported once, many times by Prabhupada himself, but also it's dramatically reported if you've seen the Following Srila Prabhupada DVD series by His Grace Yadavar Prabhu. So there's one memory from my godbrother Bhagavat Prabhu. So he said, and he expressed beautifully the ambivalent relationship Prabhupada had with Mahatma Gandhi. He said they were in Bombay, and it was a room conversation. It was an evening conversation with some Indian people. And Prabhupada was glorifying Gandhi like anything for his simple living preaching and local economy. Get your food, get your medicine, get your clothes, everything you need, your cosmetics, you know, everything you need locally, right? If you know how to do it, you can do it. So everybody's very happy because Mahatma Gandhi's the darling of Indian independence and history. And then the next day they go on a morning walk to Juhu Beach. And Bhagavat also goes on the morning walk. And there's a new set of guests, Indian gentlemen. And they bring up Mahatma Gandhi. And Prabhupada starts blasting Gandhi, because he did not know Bhagavad Gita. And these gentlemen tended toward the impersonal. They leaned toward the impersonal concept, which Mahatma Gandhi also did too. Making an allegory out of the Gita. He didn't accept that such a person as Krishna really ever lived. The Pandavas, well, they represent the five senses. And he tried to make a case for pacifism out of the Bhagavad Gita. Can you imagine that? I mean, the greatest bloodbath that ever hit Bharat Varsh is pacifism? No. So Prabhupada is just blasting Gandhi like anything. And Bhagavat's hearing all this, you know, after hearing Prabhupada express so much affection for Gandhi. And then at one point in Prabhupada's tirade, you know, they were stopped on the beach and Prabhupada's just going at it. He doesn't know anything about Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada caught Bhagavat's eye. And he didn't quite wink at Bhagavat, but the communication, the eye contact communication said, "You believe me then, you believe me now." So, I'm going to read a little bit from the Lilamrita. How Prabhupada played the role of unknown friend. So on December 7th, 1947, Abhay, Prabhupada is Abhay Charanaravinda Das. He's still using his given name because he's doing business still. Abhay Chiti. Anyway, I'll tell you how he signs off. On December 7th, 1947, Abhay wrote Gandhi from Kanpur. He's doing business in Kanpur. Gandhi was living at the Birla Mansion in Delhi, where large military forces throughout the city discouraged Hindu-Muslim rioting. Gandhi's secretary, Pyarelal Nayar, described Gandhi at this time as, quote, the saddest man one could picture. Here's a person
who was revered by the whole world as being such a saintly person and a, you know, champion of nonviolence, and he's totally a broken man because he's, anyway, I'll read. The men he had led in the struggle for Indian independence, Jawaharlal Nehru, Vallabhai Patel, and others, had taken the leadership of the nation, and Gandhi, with his doctrines of nonviolence, unity, and agrarianism, was now at odds with them in many ways. They wanted to just go, you know, quote, modern, Western, industrial, and this was breaking Gandhi's heart. He feared he was becoming an anachronism, passé, an anachronism. His former colleagues admired him, but rejected his leadership. All his programs, Hindu-Muslim unity, nonviolence, upliftment for the poor, although praised throughout the world, were failures in the India of 1947. On a recent visit to a Muslim refugee camp, a crowd of Muslims who surrounded his car had cursed him. And at a public prayer meeting, a Hindu crowd had shouted him down and ended his meeting when he had attempted to read from the Quran. At 78 years, Gandhi was physically weak and melancholy. In all likelihood, Abhai's letter would never reach him. So Prabhupada, it's an amazing thing when you read Prabhupada's letters when he had no audience. He's preaching at the top of his voice, just like he was when we heard him. You know, and you can hear him today on the tapes if you never heard him in person. You know, he was just, but he was, as he said later, I was crying alone in the wilderness, but it's the same voice. In all likelihood, Abhai's letter would never reach him. Abhai knew it. Sending a letter to Gandhi would be like putting a note in a bottle and sending it to sea. It would arrive in the flood of mail, and Gandhi would be too busy to see it, but Abhai sent it nonetheless. Now here's how Prabhupada opens his letter. My dear friend, Mahatma Ji, please accept my respectful namaskar. I am your unknown friend. But I had to write you at times, he means before, and again, although you never cared to reply them, I sent you my papers back to Godhead, but your secretaries told me that you have very little time to read the letters and much less for reading the magazines. I asked for an interview with you, but your busy secretaries never cared to reply. Anyway, as I am your very old friend, although unknown to you, I am writing to you in order to bring you to the rightful position deserved by you. As a sincere friend, I must not deviate from my duty towards a friend like your good self. So Prabhupada has come full circle in his life. You know, when he first met his Guru Maharaj, he felt obliged to challenge Srila Saraswati Thakur in a respectful way. I mean, he and Narendranath Mulak had not even risen from obeisances when the Thakur said, you are educated young men, why don't you preach Krishna consciousness in English all over the world? Okay, so Prabhupada felt obliged to challenge that. Well, who will hear we're a captive nation, who will hear us? No one listens to a loser, you know, a slave. We have to get our independence first. And as you know, Saraswati Thakur said, no, Krishna consciousness is too important to wait for a change in politics. I'm not going to read the whole letter, I'm going to read excerpts. So, Prabhupada continues. Now, by the grace of... Let's see. You should therefore take note of warning from your insignificant friend like me that unless you retire timely from politics and engage yourself 100% in the preaching work of Bhagavad Gita, which Gandhi said was his inspiration, but he wasn't preaching it as it is. He was just using it for his political doctrine. Which is the real function of the Mahatmas, you shall have to meet with such inglorious deaths as Mussolini, Hitler, Tojo, and even mentioned Churchill, who wasn't even dead. He was going to live another 15 years. So Prabhupada's warning him, look, this politics is going to get the better of you. Okay, so here's another one. I would only request you to retire from politics at least for a month only,
and let us have discussion on the Bhagavad Gita. I am sure, therefore, that you shall get a new light from the result of such discussions, not only for your benefit, but for the benefit of the world at large, as I know that you are sincere, honest, and a moralist. And he did feel like that. Prabhupada, as one journalist put it, or one English journalist put it, either Gandhi, he's a saint among politicians, or a politician among saints. We're not quite sure about this Mahatma Gandhi. So Prabhupada also sees that he's on this fence, you know, and he's being torn in two ways, spirituality and politics, and he's saying, okay, the world loves you, you're being betrayed by your own, you know, Swaraj compatriots. Now, preach Bhagavad Gita as it is. Give up this. Don't you see that you're so sad because now nature's taken its course, and now you're on the outs. You know, you're trying to fast to death to stop riots, and you're so sad. Okay. Awaiting your early reply with interest. Yours sincerely, Abhay Charan Day. That was written on December 7th. 7 weeks later, fast forward, Satsarupa Maharaj writes, on January 30th, the day after he had drafted a new constitution for the Congress Party, Gandhi took his evening meal, worked at his spinning wheel, because he was showing by example, let's make our own clothes, you know, then walked towards his evening prayer meeting and was shot 3 times in the chest. He died, crying out the name of God. Hey Ram, Hey Ram, Hey Ram. Or some say it said Haram, Haram. Abhay's letter of the previous month suddenly read like a prophecy, but it had not been read by the person for whom it had been intended. So, our unknown friend. So Prabhupada, he played the part of the unknown friend. And our unknown friend, I'll just end with Bhagavad Gita reference to our unknown friend. Super, a lot of super soul katha in chapter 13. So in chapter 13, text 21, Krishna, he puts the ball in our court, as we say in Western sports. He puts the responsibility squarely on our shoulders when he says to Arjuna, nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects, whereas the living entity is the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments in this world. And now Prabhupada unpacks it here. He says, once placed in some particular kind of body, he comes under the control of nature. In other words, we desire, we're free to desire, and then Krishna, through his material energy, he fulfills that desire. So, but once placed in some particular kind of body, he comes under the control of nature because the body, being matter, acts according to the laws of nature. At that time, the living entity has no power to change that law. Suppose an entity is put into the body of a dog. As soon as he is put into the body of a dog, he must act like a dog. And I have to tell you, since I've been back to Mayapur, practically every night, I don't know if you have the same experience, but I am awakened regularly. They're like chokidars, you know, with their bells. These dog fights right outside my window, I can't sleep. Do we have to have dogs running wild in Mayapur? I'm just throwing that out there. That's another class. Maybe it's a seminar. Who knows? Holy smoke. It's all because one lady dog is in heat, right? So they got 5 guys on him, you know. And then, you know. Holy smoke. Okay. As soon as he is put into the body of a dog, he must act like a dog. And they sound like werewolves. That's No, not the jackals in the distance. I'm talking about these dogs, right? I can see them right below me. You know. They're no fun. This is the law of nature, but in all circumstances, the super soul is with the individual soul. That is explained in the Vedas. Now here we get the Upanishadic aphorism. Okay? This is Mundaka Upanishad 3.1.1 as follows. Dvasupanasayajasakaya. The Supreme Lord is so kind upon the living entity that he always accompanies the individual soul and in all circumstances is present as the super soul or Paramatma. What does it say? It says in that verse that we're in the tree of the body, another metaphor, and we're trying to enjoy the fruits. Sometimes they say sweet, sometimes they say sour, bitter, and then our friend is just, looking, waiting for us to turn, waiting for us to get disgusted, with our God projects, and we're trying to be God in these prison suits. It doesn't work. Okay, and then, now this is my favorite super soul verse. Upadrashta namanta cha bharta bhokta maheshvaraha paramatmeti chapyukto dehismin purushakparaha. Krishna says, yet in this body there is another, a transcendental enjoyer, who is the Lord, the supreme proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter, and who is known as the super soul. And I'll just end with Prabhupada's comment about the super soul and the relationship that's going on, as we speak. Now the super soul is encouraged because, we're listening to Bhagavat. We're hoping we go the distance, that we finish the course. So here's what Prabhupada says. The Lord, therefore, is always giving instruction from within and from without. From without, he gives instructions as stated in Bhagavad Gita, and from within, he tries to convince the living entity that his activities in the material field are not conducive to real happiness. Quote, just give it up and turn your faith toward me. Then you will be happy, he says. Thus the intelligent person who places his faith in the Paramatma or the Supreme Personality of Godhead begins to advance toward a blissful, eternal life of knowledge. So the Leela's coming to an end, the Paranjan / Vaidarbhi Leela's coming to an end, that same person whom Paranjan ignored, his whole sad, sorry life. He died, attached to Paranjani, his wife. He was pious, so he got she was reborn as a princess by Darby. She was a highly placed princess. And now she's getting the straight stuff from the same person, Abhigyata, the unknown friend. So, similarly, let's take the hint. Those are beautiful stories that Prabhuji told yesterday. Prabhupada's stories and Siddhanta Saraswati stories, Vamsi Vadana Prabhu. When are we going to take the hint? We've got to take the hint, get a higher taste, give up the lower taste, go back to Godhead. We even say, even when we're in the material world, we say things like, somebody says, well, how did you know to do that? Oh, a little birdie told me. We say this in English. Do you have this in other languages? A little birdie told me. That's actually true. There's a little birdie in there. It's a super soul. And he's informing. He's informing us. And when we ignore him, we suffer. Oh, I should have listened to that little birdie, that little voice. I knew I shouldn't have done that, right? The psychologists call it conscience and all this stuff, but we're getting the straight stuff. Okay, I'm going to read the verse again. And then please, or if you have to go to your services, please take the opportunity to bow down to the Bhagavat and make your graceful exit. Okay, here we go. Where is it? Okay, it is. The five stores are the five working sensory organs. They transact their business. That's what we're doing here. We're hustling a scene here, right? Everybody's hustling just to have a little scene. Yeah, it's true. They transact their business through the combined forces of the five elements, which are eternal. Behind all this activity is the soul. The soul is a person and an enjoyer in reality, right? How do we enjoy? By cooperating. That's how we enjoy it, with Krishna. We're so attached to our dramas, and Krishna's saying, no, look, give up those. That's come to my drama. And you'll really enjoy. Okay. However, because he is now hidden within the city of the body, he is devoid of knowledge. Therefore, we're looking at each other's costumes, and we're not really seeing each other as it is, but hopefully we will meet each other as it is someday. Okay. Any questions or comments?
If the soul is hidden within the body and is devoid of knowledge, so how is he still guiding the living entity to know what is right or wrong?
Could you say that slower and louder?
In the translation, the last verse, however, because he is now hidden within the city of the body, he is devoid of knowledge. So if he is devoid of knowledge, how does he still know what is good and what is wrong? How is he guiding the living entity?
How does he still
guide, knows what is good or what is wrong? Because here he says he's devoid of knowledge.
Yeah.
So how does he know how to guide a living entity? If he has no knowledge, how can the soul be devoid of knowledge?
Well, ultimately, even if we know something, if our knowledge is limited to, you know, how to eat, sleep, mate, and defend better, we don't really know anything. That's why along with that kind of knowledge, we have to cultivate, you know, knowledge of transcendence. Vidyam, cha vidyam, cha yash. Yeah, in the human form, I see your dilemma. In the human form, you know, what does the Vedanta Sutra say? Atato, now, thus, brahma jigyasa. Now that you're in the human form of life, your consciousness has surfaced in a human body, you know, and it's natural. As soon as we're in a human body, we ask, Mommy, why is the sky blue? Why are there stars? You know. So, but until we really connect, you know, with the absolute source of knowledge, I mean, if Mommy's a devotee, then she can do that. Because she's the first guru. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. That's why the world's a mess, because the hand rocking the cradle, most of them aren't connected to Krishna knowledge. So we have some chit, we have some consciousness, but that consciousness is, you know, is circumscribed. It's very limited by our material desires. One time, a temple president of mine in 1974, we went to the Chicago Ratha Yatra, Amarendra Prabhu. So he had a darshan with Prabhupada, and he asked Srila Prabhupada in Chicago in July 1974. Srila Prabhupada, what is sense gratification? Is it a figment of my imagination? Is it real? Is it, what is it? Is it illusory? So Prabhupada said, sense gratification is real because it comes from Krishna. But it is, and then as he said the last word, he spanned his fingers, Srila Prabhupada spanned his fingers, and as he said the word, he started to close his fingers until by the time he said the last letter in the word, you could hardly see his space in his fingers. Sense gratification is real because it's coming from Krishna, but it is restricted. Like a drop of water in the desert, right? So, you know, so we're really devoid of, you know, real knowledge. It's gonna, doesn't mean we're unconscious. I mean, we're conscious, but we're conscious, what good is it, right? If I'm just conscious like an amoeba or a plant, if it's all about eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and you know, just like those dogs out there, you know. So, is that all right? You still look a little.
It's difficult for me to understand because the soul is said to be eternal,
yeah,
full of knowledge.
Full of knowledge, but.
And here he's saying it's devoid of knowledge.
Yeah, because we've chosen, we've made a bad choice. We chose to leave Krishna. So yeah, we're Satchidananda, right? But now, it's like there's a famous line from Casablanca with Humphrey Bogart and who played the Lauren Bacall? Lauren Bacall? Who was the female? Ingrid Bergman, thank you. There's a man who knows his movies for his service. Right. Only for service. So what was the line? You know the line.
Well, I don't know which one. It was a bunch of lines.
So they're at a bar in Casablanca, and Ingrid Bergman is with Humphrey Bogart. Sweetheart, what's a nice girl doing like you doing in a place like this? What's a nice girl like you doing in a place like this? So similarly, we're Satchitananda, we're spirit soul. What's a nice soul like you doing in a body like this? What are you doing? Right? We've just read about bone and blood and all this stuff. Yeah. And it's just gift wrapped by skin, so it looks nice. Right? We're all gift wrapped. You take away the wrapping and, liquid beauty! Bye-bye. So, yeah, we're full of the Satchitananda. Our Satchitananda nature is dependent on our connection with Krishna. We've willfully left Krishna, so we're just wandering around this place, and we're suffering like anything. You know? So we're to recover that Satchitananda nature, we have to reconnect. It's called yoga. So, is that any better? Getting there. It's hard for you to understand. Yeah, it's hard for me to understand. How was I pushed or did I jump? You know. But Krishna puts the burden squarely on us. He does it. Check out 5:15. Nada te kasya chittapam nachaiva sukha. If you want to know a good purport about why we're here in this material world, you read 5:15, the verse in purport. Krishna, he completely absolves himself of any responsibility for why we're here. Chapter 5, text 13, 14, 15. There's three doers. There's the jiva, there's nature, and there's God. And later on, Krishna unpacks it as five factors of action. But you look at chapter 5, he boils it down to three doers, and he says, that he's not responsible. Nor does the Supreme Spirit assume anyone's sinful or pious activities embody. Beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance. Remember, it's not passive, it's active. Ignorance, which covers their real knowledge. Read that purport. We have willfully left Krishna. We're responsible. And therefore, we're covered. You know, we're full of light. What does it say in the Vedanta? We're jyoti, we're full of love and light, but now we're sunk in these material elements. So, you know, we don't exactly see through these eyes. We don't exactly see, because of these eyes, we see through them. So our power of seeing, tasting, Bhaktivedanta Purnamash talks about this a lot. We're sentient. We have feelings, we have perceptions, we have relationships, but now it's all through the, you know, the perverted prism of gross and subtle matter. So we gotta get out of that. And the only way is to serve Krishna, beginning with the tongue. Ataksi Krishna Namadihi. You know that. Namavehit Grayam Indriyai Indri. With the same indriyas that we're trying to enjoy, right? We can actually experience freedom if we engage them, beginning with the tongue. Taste and vibrate. Sevam mukhe hijivadao sayameva sparatyanaha. Yeah, the same tongue which gets us in trouble can be a tool if we control it to free us. Okay, well, we can talk some more about this. Prabhuji. And again, take the opportunity of a transition to gracefully bow down. That's what I try to grace. It never works because you have to step over 50 people's heads. But if you have to leave, I understand. I feel your pain. So please. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. During the course of your lecture, you made mention that the living entity is actually suffering because we are ignoring the super soul. And a couple of days back, the theme of the lecture was surrender. To be able to come out of this suffering, we have to surrender to the super soul by having vigyan, realized knowledge. Mm. Now, every day we listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, which is supposed to be the utmost vigyan, and Nashtra Priyasya Bhadrisu, by constantly hearing this, all that is troubled into our hearts becomes totally destroyed, mm-hmm. and we get total liberation from distance troubling us. But how come, despite all this hearing, we cannot still surrender?
I'll give you the straight stuff. Satsarup Maharaj, was he still Steve? No, he was Satsarup Brahmachari. Said, Swamiji, if Krishna is all attractive, why is it so hard to surrender unto him? I've told this before.
Because you hate him.
This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita.
Icha Vesha.
Prabhupada, this is the How I Fell verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada would quote this, 727.
Icha Dvesha.
Right? Icha Dvesha Sabutena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Sabhabhutani Sangmoham Sargayanti Parantapa. O sign of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion. This is the original schizophrenia. We leave Krishna. Icha, we want to be God, and Dvesha, and we hate God. We hate the very person we want to be. It doesn't make any sense. We're like rebels without a cause, you know, fools. It's just a foolish thing. So why, despite so much hearing? Because we hear through a filter. You know, our late, great, lamented, I still haven't forgiven Krishna for this, I confess, for taking our Sataputta Prabhu away from this. Why? But Krishna has his plan. He's reassigning these great souls, right? Sataputta Prabhu used to talk about the knowledge filter, right? How material scientists conveniently filter out stuff that doesn't agree with their paradigm, right? And as it turns out, there's more anomalies than there are things that fit with their paradigm. But even more insidious than the knowledge filter is the desire filter. We hear through our desires. And that's why when you hear Prabhupada speak, he says, try to understand. And then he says, try not to misunderstand, because that's what we do. We bring our desires to the hearing process, and we twist what we hear around, well, this really means, you know, something that'll be convenient for my sense. But the good news is that the more we engage our senses, mind, and intelligence sincerely in the service of Krishna, that's why it's a gradual process. Then we begin to hear it as it is, and that's why the Shastra is so fresh, because if we're actually following the bhakti process, we hear it differently. You know, what's the old saying? You never step in the same river twice, right? It's a flow. It's constantly flowing. So if we're actually in the Shastra flow, and if we're in the Abhideya process flow, we're hearing Shastra differently. You know, we come back to it, and whoa, yeah, that's what it means. And still there's more, right? So don't worry, you know. It's a gradual process, but we have to scrub, you know. If we don't scrub, it doesn't, you know, gradually we'll still come out of the shower smelling the same way when we went in, unless we scrub while we're in the shower. You got to endeavor. Okay, is that something? Rupa Goswami, he gives us a real tough, you know, mandate. Utsaha nischaya. You have to be enthusiastic and patient. If we're just enthusiastic and we're not patient, that means we're just in the mode of passion. And if we're just patient, we're not enthusiastic, it means we're in the mode of ignorance. So we have to be enthusiastic and patient, because Krishna, Father knows best. Father Krishna knows when and how and what and where, just how to handle us. So your unknown friend, my unknown friend, he knows. Yeah, so. Any questions? More questions? Oh, wait a minute, let's give the ladies a chance.
Hi, Popo.
Wait a minute. Hey, we're going to give the ladies a chance. And here comes the lady. Okay.
Thank you for the class. So, if we have a sense that's overactive, is it important to engage it in Krishna's service or just tolerate it? And if we are going to tolerate it, what is the difference between, or the balance between tolerating it and suppressing it?
Okay, I missed the key word. If we have a certain what?
A sense that's overactive.
A sense?
Yeah. Just say we really get hungry a lot, for example.
Yeah.
Just you have, we can't stop these senses. What was the stanza that Prabhupada wrote that pleased Saraswati Thakur, just like Rupa Goswami pleased Lord Chaitanya with the verse that Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, how you know my mind. Absolute ascension, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast moved." Prabhupada read it years later when Gurudas found it in the Royal Asiatic Society of London, and Prabhupada edited it. He changed his own words. He changed moved to removed, and that solved a riddle for me. Why sometimes you read move, why remove? Because Prabhupada changed it. He's changing his own books. No. So absolute ascension. We come from ascension. You know, the center of existence is, as our God sister Rukmini beautifully put it on Women of Bhakti. Just think, at the center of existence is a love affair, Radha and Krishna. I love that, you know. So, yeah, we come from ascension. You know what sentient means? It means we feel, we perceive. It's ultimate, that's who we are. So we have, we're sentient, but now we've turned away from Krishna. So that sentience, if that's a word, is now reflected through, you know, material body and mind. So Krishna's genius is that same material body and mind that's getting us into trouble, you know, life after life, we can use it. We can use it in his service. So whatever, but the key is, the trick is, under the guidance, we have to have mentors to tell it, to help us know how to engage that. So it's very important to have good guides at every stage, you know, at every stage of life. Is it your tongue?
Well, I was just wondering because, just say for example, we do, like it is, you know, we do need to eat prasad a lot. There is certain, you know, we can't just eat prasad all day. Even that needs to be controlled.
You can't eat prasad all day.
That's not what Lord Chaitanya says. That's
wait
not
a
what
minute, wait a minute. Hang on, lady. Vishnujan Maharaj asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, can we just take prasadam all day?
Yes, if you chant Hare Krishna after every bite.
So, my apologies, you're right. Because Prabhupada gave him an instruction that, you know, it's impossible. And you're right. Mahaprabhu wants us to share. He doesn't want just to, you know, glut ourselves all day. So we just take prasadam. So what's the problem? For the first 60 years, you have to eat a lot. You know? You've heard 6 months, I'm working on year 43. So.
What about the other senses?
What about them? Just engage them. We want to see something beautiful, we want to hear something beautiful, we want to touch something beautiful. You know, this. You have to do this under the guidance of your gurus. Mande gurun. Spiritual master is one, Krishna, and many. Diksha, Shiksha, founder of Acharya, the whole Sampradaya, previous Acharyas. But you just need guidance, that's all. So, we have to engage, we can't stop our senses. Or our mind, or our body. We have to, you know, you can't. You just have to redirect it. So, how to do that? That's another, more of a conversation. I've just given you the short answer. So, but no worries. I mean, you don't have to stop. You don't have to suppress. Suppressing is unhealthy. It has to be engaged, properly, purified. What does Krishna say in the Gita? Balam balavatam chaham. Kamaraga vivarjitam dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosi bharatarshabha. I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. O Lord of the Bharatas, Arjuna. And why? Krishna knows what he's eating. Why does he say that? Because that very activity, sex life, which rivets us
in the material bodily conception, if it's done under the guidance of the spiritual master, gurus, it can be liberating if it's done right. So purified passion, like Bhima. He was so passionate that when he killed Dushasana on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the whole battle stopped because he made good on his vow. You know, when Draupadi was being disrobed, they were trying to disrobe her, and the Pandavas couldn't do anything, Bhima was seething. You know, he was like, he wanted to finish all the Kauravas there right on the spot, but Yudhisthira restrained him, and he was obedient because his passion is purified. He engages his passion appropriately. But at Kurukshetra, when his time came to make good on his vow that he was going to, you know, cut out Dushasana's heart and drink the blood and then bathe Draupadi's hair in the blood, something like that. Give her the blood to wash her hair. So he did that. He cut out Dushasana and he was drinking the blood, and everybody stopped and went, "No, this is too much. This guy's a Rakshasa." He was grossing out even these heavy-duty thoroughbred Maharatas, you know. So it was purified. So it was purified passion. He was making good on his rut, you know. So anyway, there's a way to do everything. There's a way to eat. There's a way to sleep. There's a way to mate. There's a way to defend. There's a way to see, hear, taste, smell, touch. This is all part of the bhakti, the genius of Krishna's bhakti yoga. And we just have to learn more about it, how to do it. So that's the long answer that I don't have time to tell. But no worries, mate. You're from Australia?
Yes, sort of.
Get on ya. All right.
Thank you.
All right. You can gracefully exit if you want. Okay, another question? Okay. Who was it? Prabhuji. We're going to have to wait till the exits. Go ahead. Exit. Exit 3. Exit stage right for you, left for me.
So since we don't always listen to the super soul, we have the understanding that the spiritual master is the external representation.
Yes.
So I wondered if you might remember any incidents from Srila Prabhupada's life or some ways that Prabhupada acted as the external representation of the super soul.
In my life? You know?
Just something, because I enjoyed all the stories yesterday in the class, and I just wondered if, since you have a lot of experience, if you can think of ways that Prabhupada, in helping the hippies and the very, you know, people that were very out of touch with the super soul, he intervened or somehow connected.
So just hit the button. Hit the button on your iPod or your CD player. It's uncanny how what we need to hear, or just open the book. You know, it's right there. It's uncanny. Isn't it uncanny? How when you are... it happened to me this morning, because I woke up and I was cranky because of the dogs waking me up at every hour on the hour. You know, and then I hit the iPod, and what was the... Prabhupada was talking about cats and dogs and how you can't expect, you know, peace with cats and dogs, you know, because that's what they do. They fight. And as soon as you're a dog, you got to bark and you got to do all this stuff, you know. So I said, thank you, Prabhupada. What do you expect? But my further complaint is that why do we have to have these dogs and the Dom doing this, you know? Anyway. So you just... open the book, hit the button, and you will hear our founder Acharya. He may be my Diksha Guru, but he's everybody's founder Acharya. And you can hear our foundational spiritual master just telling you what the super soul has been trying to say, you know, in so many ways, through so many people and scriptures. He's spelling it out. And the super soul just gives hints, you know, because he doesn't interfere with the free will. But the spiritual master, he gets heavy. Just like
one of my best friends in Hawaii. I did a tour of Dewey in Hawaii for 10.5 years, and I lived to tell the tale. And was a Dominican nun. Her name was Sister Malia D. Wong. Is Streetama here? Streetama. Okay. No Hawaiian. Oh. Anyway, Sister Malia, she would bring her world religions class every spring and fall semester to the temple. And she was like a bhaktin. She'd have them bring gifts to the deities. And then I was telling her my challenges in preaching, and she said, Sureshwar, she started lecturing me. Sureshwar, ministry means we have to comfort the disturbed, and we have to disturb the comfortable. You gotta cut. Sometimes you gotta cut. And I was, oh, thank you very much, Sister Malia. So, you know, Super Soul, he's not gonna interfere with our free will. He's just trying to give us hints and the little birdie and the conscience, but the spiritual master, he lays it out. Sorry, you're just a nonsense. You know, do this. Give it up. Get up. Chakfa tishta parantapa. Chakfa, give it up. Utishta, get up. Krishna, this is a common refrain in the Gita. Chakfa tishta parantapa. Give up, get up and fight. So why hippies? Why not right now? We just open the book, hit the button, and you can hear our founder, Acharya, telling you just what you need to hear. Isn't it miraculous? Yes! Okay. All right, it's getting pretty late. It's after 9. Jai! Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai!